Are you ready to get your sports banter on? Brian Henninger, love child of Albert Einstein and Howard Cosell, with a body chiseled by Zeus himself. Brandon Sharples, a man who could beat Mike Tyson in a spelling bee. Together, they form the At Odds Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Thursday, February 22nd, 2018, and we have an awesome show in store for you guys. I am your host of the At Odds Podcast, Brian Henninger, and today we'll be talking Major League Baseball pace of play rules, toxic work environment with the Dallas Mavericks, and maybe even throwing in some fun fuck-ups we've had in terms of work-related stories. And then, of course, we can't do this without my co-host. He is the man, silky smooth, Brandon Sharples. Brandon, how you doing tonight?
What's up, guys? This is your handsome co-host, Brandon Sharples. And we got a funny, amazing, awesome show in store for you. Hopefully Blog Talk Radio holds up its end of the bargain, and we will not have any issues because we have some callers that we're going to have on the show tonight telling you some stories about fucked up things they did to get fired or things they should have been fired for but didn't. I actually have a couple of stories from that. But other than that, man, today was just a regular day. I had to drag my son out of wrestling practice today because he wasn't giving effort and he's being a little punk. So I had to drag him out. Oh, yeah. He wasn't giving his effort. He literally looked at me while he was doing a push-up and asked me how many more he needed to do. I'm like, you do as many as Coach Ben tells you to do. Uncle Ben tells you to do it, you do it. Crazy kids, man.
Oh, he's asking for
that, man. Fuck yeah. But I just stuffed my face full of, what the hell did I eat today? Arby's. I'm never going back there again. I am so sick of fast food. I'm supposed to be on this diet, and I'm not on this diet. I'm on this fucking fast food diet is what I'm under. I bought all this like fruit, vegetables, a chicken, you know, I got protein powder. I got all this stuff and I am just not sticking to my guns, I guess. I'm that typical New Year's Eve guy. I say I'm going to do something and then not with my body and I never end up doing it. So another thing I got to tell you guys is for those watching live, I am wearing Dominic Lahutsky's North Face he keeps bitching about. The dude keeps bitching about me having his coat that he left in my car when I live and work in Ann Arbor. And he wants me to drive in the opposite direction of where he lives to hand him this thing. It's not going to happen. So, Dom, I'm enjoying this snuggle coat, man. Look at that North Face. Oh, other side, opposite. Fucking amazing. I can't wait till he comes into this, comes into here. So, but yeah, man. Did you guys see that photo of the gold medal team? The women's hockey team, and the girl was doing a little sign. She was doing the sign, and so anybody that sees that, basically she's going to kick your ass at some point. So that's pretty funny. I remember doing that shit when we were in high school. Do you remember that, doing the circle sign?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you do it down low by your leg, and every time somebody looked at it.
The circle?
Yeah.
Punch them in the arm?
Yeah. Yeah. We did that in high school, and that was, like, supposedly, like, a new thing. It's not a new thing, guys. We did it in high school. I used to do this all the time. Matter of fact, Craig Porath was a classmate of mine. He always used to do this, and I would get blasted in the arm 6 times a day. This is not anything new. It's kind of like the 80s music's like, you know, getting reworked into the music scene. It's like the same thing. It's not new music, and this is not a new thing. But it's funny. I'll gladly bring it back. So I thought it was pretty funny. But, yeah, so the women's Olympic team won. For the first time, this is the fourth Olympics in a row that they played, and they finally won.
Canada.
Oh yeah, hey Ross. Yes, I was in Ann Arbor for a long time working and everything. So, and going to school, I still go to school up in Ann Arbor. So, yeah, we're good, Ross. I'm not down in Columbus with all you Buckeyes. The hockey team. The hockey team, they finally pulled through, and they won in a shootout over Canada. And I was looking through some comment sections, and I saw people were bitching about a shootout. How can you bitch about a shootout? I think that's the greatest thing in sports.
That's like the most exciting part of a hockey game.
Yeah, have you guys ever seen Big Daddy? Remember, he's bitching at his kid? He's like, look, be quiet. They're in a shootout. This happens like once every 10 years, so come on, let's go. Well, no. We have people that really honestly did not like the fact that they were in a shootout. I thought that it was amazing. I thought it was amazing that they're in a shootout, and that's how you won an Olympic medal, is in a shootout. That's ridiculous. You never see that kind of cool shit. That's like stuff in a movie, like you'd see in the Mighty Ducks, you know what I mean? Their own little female Charlie Conway. I thought it was amazing.
Shootouts in Mighty Ducks.
Yeah, they did. That's how they beat the Hawks. Charlie Conway did that badass triple D.
Might in D2.
Yeah, probably. Oh, yeah. Yeah, anybody that's on here live, man, just give us a like at Belly Up Sports. You know, click that link that Mike just put in the comment section there. So, yeah, it's pretty cool that we won that. But I'll tell you what, for all perspective, I thought we did pretty poor in the Olympics this year. Although, I don't give a shit about Winter Olympics. If you want to vote on this, go to our Twitter, at Belly Up Sports. And I have a poll that I put up there. Do you give a shit about the Winter Olympics? And it's kind of been overwhelmingly in favor of no. Nobody cares about the Winter Olympics. And I don't really care. Hey, Craig, what's up, man? I was actually just talking about you. Craig joined us live. Craig Porath is the guy I told you that we used to do. Remember, Craig, we used to do this game, and you used to blast me in the arm and catch me all the time. I think you have to remember that. That was so funny. But, yeah. Basically, nobody gives a shit about the Winter Olympics. And I told you. Remember I told you that's like for like places that we vacation. So that's why you see like Switzerland and stuff like that doing good in the Winter Olympics, is because, you know, they're born and bred to do all those things. They come out the womb skiing, you know what I mean? So I just don't care about the Winter Olympics. I don't really put too much stock into it. I thought it was funny that one, what is her name? She's from America, but she somehow finagled her way into the Olympics to represent Hungary. She represented Hungary in the half pipe skiing. Do you know her name? If anybody knows her name, put it in the comment section. There is a skier from America that does half pipe skiing, and she is she went for Hungary instead of the United States. Now, she's so bad. She's probably, they've labeled her the worst Olympian ever. She did a half, what was she would do is,
Elizabeth Sweeney?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Yeah. Yeah, I shaved my goatee, guys. I had to. I had too many questions about it. People were wondering what the hell I was doing, calling me ball chin boy. I had to get rid of it. But no, for real. So those listening on Blog Talk, I am live right now talking on chat and video, and so I have to interact with both of you. Now, what she did was she went to qualify by, she would just go to all these international events all over the world, and she would just ski on this half pipe, and she'd do no tricks. Literally, her best trick was a little 180 to go back down the other side of the half pipe. And as long as she didn't crash, what's up, Dom? What's up, Dom? Look at my coat. Oh, shit. But anyways, she would just go up and down the half pipe, and she would not crash, but she would do literally no tricks. No tricks at all. And she would just qualify. So, like, say somebody crashed, she would get, like, 12th out of 15 if she had a couple people crash. She was getting dead last. Yeah, Elizabeth Sweeney. She would get dead last, and what she would do is she would just qualify all these points. It's based on a point system, and she would – gradually get higher and higher ranked in the nation, and there's really not that many half-pipe women skiers as there is. So when Olympic time, the bids come, there's only four per country. So you can only have four per country. So some of these countries have like the top 10, you know, 10 of the top 30, like in Switzerland and stuff, but they can only bring four. So at the end of the day, they finally, people are getting injured, falling out, stuff like that. And, you know, plus the four per country rule, what they end up doing was, they had to call her because she was a 34th ranked halfpipe skier in the world, just based on the fact that she had accumulated so many points, literally doing no tricks, but she just didn't crash. So she ended up being an Olympian for Hungary, And you, we're going to post her video. At the end of this, I, in the comment section, I will post the video of this chick. And yeah, dude, you're going to watch her half pipe run. She literally just goes from side to side on the half pipe on skis and she just finishes, but she never crashes. So yeah, she got to call herself an Olympian. They call her a fake Olympian. They're calling her the worst Olympian ever because she's so bad. But yeah, she actually was a Harvard graduate and everything. I think she just took so many trips to like Aspen and stuff. So I think she's from a wealthy family that she just thought she can ski. So yeah. Curtis, yeah, I make money talking to myself, but you're in my chat room, so I'm not really talking to myself. I'm talking to you, dude. But yeah, that I thought that was pretty funny. It started making me think like, how, man, I wonder if I can find a loophole to get into the Olympics one day. Like just fucking go to China and be the tallest kid on their basketball team.
The amount of sports constantly.
Yeah. We so, should just find
maybe
the most fucked up sport.
That
like,
you're good at.
Yeah. Yeah, like maybe they can do like a podcasting Olympics or something.
Well, you definitely would not qualify.
Oh, no. Yes, I would. I'm interesting as hell. But, yeah, let's get into our first topic, man. I wanted to talk
about. All right, do you want to go talk MLB or do you want to go straight into your Mavericks?
Let's get into my Mavericks. I'm a Mavericks fan, everybody. Right. I love the Texas Rangers, Dallas Mavericks. Everybody that knows me knows that. Well, Mark Cuban, funny that he is, Mark Cuban – Mr. Liberal, trashing Trump for all his infidelity.
It's not Cuban that's under fire.
No, Cuban should. Don't even go there. This is where we're going to finally.
He's not the one accused of all this shit.
That doesn't matter. I'm not getting. You got to let me finish on this. Mark Cuban allowed the president and. Okay, let's just get into this real quick here. Let's just get into this real quick here. Now, can you guys still see me? I'm sure you can. All right. So, I'm looking at this thing for you guys real quick so I will not make any mistakes. And I can go ahead and get on with this. So, basically, the Mavericks team president, his name is Teredema Usery. Everybody just calls him Usery, whatever. He's kind of got like a bunch of nicknames. He's been accused of inappropriate behavior constantly. And also, their beat writer, Earl Sneed, has been accused of domestic violence multiple times where he's hit women, you know, alleged
including
sexual
one
assault.
Was a Mavericks employee.
Huh?
One of them was a Mavericks employee at the time, too.
Yeah, but well, he's the team president. Usery's the team president. He was the team president. And Sneed is their beat writer. He's like, he's their number one beat writer. Well, anyway, he basically Cuban allowed this to happen because Cuban is considered and he's basically self-proclaimed to be the biggest micromanaging GM / team owner, whatever he wants to call himself, in all of sports. Yeah, he's self-proclaimed on this. So you're telling me somebody that says that he takes care of every little minute detail that has anything to do with the Dallas Mavericks. He's on top of everything. He said this publicly, written in print and in interviews. You're telling me he didn't know about any of these allegations? You're telling me he didn't know that the inappropriate behavior of Usery, he didn't know any of that stuff? Yes, he did. He just chose to know what he wanted to know, and he chose to let it go. So Mr. Mark Cuban is really to just as much to blame is that those other two scumbags that are fucking hitting women and talking shit about women. Do you not agree?
Well, I'm just going to play a little bit of devil's advocate here. I mean, I'm not going to completely defend Cuban.
No devil's advocate, but I'll let you say what you have to say.
Well, are you going to let me at least? All right.
Yeah.
So Cuban is extremely hands-on with the team, like the players, the coaches, all that stuff. And I mean, I would not be shocked if he knows everything about the actual team. And maybe because Usery was already there at the time when Cuban took over the team, he just kind of let Usery handle the office stuff. Because from everything I heard, there was not one problem whatsoever with the locker room, with the players, with any of that side of things. And maybe I'm just saying, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. I'm not saying that that's 100% what happened, but maybe Cuban only cared about players. And then he just let that stuff happen, not really wanting to know what was going on. I mean, maybe he knew, maybe he didn't. But
I'm taking this coat off.
All he really seems to care about is the players and the refs. Like, that's all he ever talks about is the actual performance of the team. Like, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would give two shits about, you know, what was happening in the offices. If, like, as long as Usury was making money, then he probably didn't care. And Usury was making them a shit ton of money. So as big of a piece of shit he was making the money.
He's not the coach. He is the office. He owns the team, and he's basically a self-proclaimed GM. He makes so many decisions in the front office for them.
GM, all he cares about is the players.
No, he works hand-in-hand with these guys that I'm talking about. He has been interviewed by Snead 1,000 times. He works hand-in-hand with Usury every fucking day. Like, these are not people that – he doesn't just say, go ahead and handle your own shit. You know, I'm just going to talk to the players. Like, the two people that are under fire for all this stuff work directly with Cuban on a regular basis. Usury every single day, and Snead interviews them constantly. So he knows who these people are. You know damn well that he knows a lot about what's going on with that organization. He can't escape this one. So no more president Cuban. Huh?
You think he'll be forced to sell the Clippers team, like the old Clippers owner?
I don't know. I don't care. I don't like Cuban anymore. I used to like him. I was a huge fan of him, and then he just became a prick, and he started I felt like he was trying to get – he was trashing Trump, which is obviously fine because a lot of people did. It's not – I still like a lot of my friends that trash Trump. You know, it's not – if you trash Trump, I'm not going to have a different view of you. It was the way that he was doing it. It was like he was trying to get his own publicity by trashing Trump. Like, he was just being annoying about it. And I felt that Cuban's just a fucking snake. I don't like Cuban. He's a dickweed. I don't like him on Shark Tank. I barely watch the show, but every time I watch it, I just don't like him very much. And quite frankly, I wouldn't care if the Mavericks made him sign or the NBA made him sell the Mavericks. I highly doubt it's going to happen. It's probably not going to happen, but I don't feel that Mark Cuban has a leg to stand on when he's going to be trashing Trump or anybody else for any sort of dysfunctional issues ever again. He's lost all credibility when it comes to that. He did absolutely nothing.
I'll admit that. From everything I'm hearing about the Usury guy is, I mean, he was a grade-A scumbag.
Yeah, grade-A. And that's not, and you know, a lot of people knew that. That doesn't even spend every day with them. So, of course, Cuban knew that. Who knew if Cuban partied with this guy and saw these shit firsthand, but he did nothing because they were making money. And
he has been on the organization for a few years. From what I read, he actually went left to go get like a major position with Under Armour. And within 2 months at Under Armour, he was alone with a woman in an elevator, and she reported him to HR, and he basically got fired.
Yeah.
So yeah, their Under Armour system actually worked. Like, all the people that reported Usury and the Mavericks, it went to that Pittman dude, and he didn't do shit about it. And he actually did get fired through this because he was still working with the Mavericks, and so did Snead. Yeah, Snead got fired too.
And I find this interesting too, as my buddy Ross is in the comment section here, and he says a lot of big names involved with major sex scandals were extreme liberals that were extremely outspoken towards Trump. And I don't want to bring, I'm not going to turn this into a political rant, but I felt that.
Yeah, you shouldn't, because I mean, it's coming in on all sides.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, you know, it's kind of intriguing to me that you have somebody like Mark Cuban is going to be involved in some sort of scandal like this. I'm not saying he was sexually assaulting anybody, but it seems like all these people that want to trash Trump, and I'm not just saying just Trump, I'm just using Trump as an example because he's the flavor of the year. Anybody that trashes, I think it's funny that people that trash, you know, people that aren't kind to other people who are sexual assaulting other people, people that don't have morals are the people that don't have morals. You know what I mean? It's like the pot calling the kettle black on a constant basis.
It's a way to people to misdirect, feelings about themselves. I mean, it happens all the time. I mean, what was that dude recently, that Utah politician that was like the biggest anti-prostitute politician, and he got caught spending campaign funds on prostitutes? Shit like that happens.
There's also
constantly
that one Republican, like, I don't know if he was, I don't know what he was. Was he like a lobbyer, or I'm not sure what he was, but he was like super anti-gay, like super anti-gay, and he got caught banging a dude in his office.
I know him. He was the congressman for the district I cover in for the Daily Chief. I actually got to go to one of his office hours things where he met with constituents to like write an article about what the issues that the people had in the area. So yeah, I know who that was. That was Wes Goodman.
Yeah, him. So, I knew it was an Ohio guy.
Yep,
that's pretty funny.
That
he covers. Brian Wright
was in my district.
District.
It was one of our top stories of the year for 2017.
Yeah. So, I just think that this whole culture, it's just everybody's pointing the finger at each other and everybody's saying and doing the same thing. And it's just kind of one of those situations where you get kind of tired of everybody, I don't know, pointing fingers at everybody else when they know they got their own demons in their closet. And I think that's what Mark Cuban's been doing for far too long. Mark Cuban tries to play the cool guy role, that he's some average Joe that made it big in tech, which he originally was. And then when he made his billions, but he's turned into a prick, and he's turned into, he's a fake. He's a fraud. I think Mark Cuban's a fraud. So I don't like Mark Cuban. I would never vote for him if he ran for any sort of office. And I would not shed a tear if he ever had to sell the Mavericks. I don't give a shit, because quite frankly, we won that title in 2006, but no, not 2006. What year was that, Brian? 2005,
I thought.
Seven. It might have been five.
They beat LeBron, right?
Yeah.
So I think it was 07.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, I can't really think of the year. It doesn't really matter. The problem is after that, we've been tanking. And that's another thing that he did that I want to talk about. And this is actually something I want to talk about.
2011, we were way off.
I swear on my life, I was about to say 2011, we were way off. That's funny that you just said that. I was about to say that too. But anyway, what was I going to say? Anyways, Cuban admitted to tanking. He admitted to tanking the seasons, a couple of the past seasons, because they made piss poor acquisitions, and to make up for that, they needed a high draft pick, not only to have a high draft pick, but also possibly trade. And this brings me to kind of a subtopic of this, is that I don't like tanking. I know a lot of people want if their team sucks, they're just like, fuck it, tank them so we can suck for Andrew Luck. Remember that? Suck for Luck.
Yep.
I don't like tanking. The reason being is that you have an obligation to put the best product on the field. You are a business. These guys, whether these athletes like it or not, they are a business. They are pawns in a business. They are not individual players. And it's like, hold on. Okay. Anyway. So anyways, I was reading a message from our team here, but these players are pawns in the whole game, man. It's a business. You have the obligation to make this business as productive as you can for your fans, because these people pay great money and they pay top dollar, like hundreds of dollars, to go see an NFL game, and they don't need to be seeing fucking piss poor play from players that are fucking not playing where they're supposed to be playing, benching people and starting benching Eli Manning and putting in fucking Geno Smith. Like, what are you doing? Like, Geno Smith is not part of your future. So stop fucking tanking for the Giants fans that stuck by you. And you know, they're used to, winning Super Bowls and going to the playoffs, and they're used to all this shit. I think it's a slap in the face of the Giants to bench Eli Manning for Geno Smith, not David Webb. If you're trying to like test the waters for the future, if you're trying to say that, fine. Show the fans the future, which is David Webb, who you just drafted. Don't Davis Webb, my bad. Davis Webb. do not throw Geno shitbag Smith out on the fucking field so everybody gets to watch some little skinny fuck run around shitting all over the place. He's terrible. Why would you bench your icon of your franchise? That's bullshit. That's what I don't like. I don't like teams like the Browns didn't tank. They just played like shit. But at least their fans show up. When you got loyal fan bases like the Browns and even the Jets and the Giants and all these fan bases like that are rabid, the Eagles, before the Eagles won the Super Bowl, they've been kind of whacked for the last decade. So, you know, they sprinkled in a couple of playoff, appearances here and there, but they've been relatively disappointing from that, you know, franchise standpoint. And I feel like to do a disservice to fans that are so loyal is an embarrassment. And that goes for NBA, all these teams like tanking because they're not going to make the playoffs. So they're just throwing a shitty product on there, but they still expect the fans to show up. They still expect the fans to, make an appearance, pay money at concession, cheer, line their pockets, but they don't want to throw out the best possible lineup they can. They don't want to coach the best possible game they can. And I find that despicable. I think that's fucking terrible. You can't do that in any other business.
I can tell you, the Browns sucked, and I don't know if you can call that tanking. I think, personally, it was tanking. I mean, with the way that they just got rid of all their Pro Bowl players and for the most part. And it has not really paid off for the Browns. I mean, they've kind of been a laughingstock of the whole NFL, and obviously their attendance has dropped, even though they've got like extremely loyal fans. Attendance dropped for like the fourth straight year. People are just getting sick of losing. So when your answer to losing is to lose more so that you can get a better pick, you got to be able to balance that out with actual success down the road. And so far, that's just not happening. I mean, I look at the Philadelphia 76ers as the proper way to tank. Like, they sucked, and then they kept sucking, and then they got a bunch of really good picks, and then they drafted some very good players, and now they're actually pretty good.
Yeah. And, dude, I get that. Don't get me wrong. I see it from both sides. I see it from the team side where they know they're not going to win, so they're trying to acquire players to get competitive. But I also see it from the fan side where they're paying money, a lot of money. Some of these people are taking off the next day of work as well, taking leave days to go see these games, and they're getting shitty product. They're bored. Their team's getting blown out. They have nothing to cheer about. Say they're a Sixers fan and they're playing LeBron. LeBron's not even going to play the whole game. So by the fourth quarter, they've wasted their entire life. Or not their entire life. They wasted their entire time being there. Because they no longer get to see a competitive game. Their team's getting their ass kicked and all the stars are off the goddamn court. So I don't like that. I think that's a slap in the face to the people that put those checks in those players and the owner's pockets. I think these players seem to forget who pays them. We pay them. Everybody that tunes in on TV, everybody that goes to these games, everybody that buys that merchandise, everybody that contributes any amount of money to their sport is their boss almost. And I think that they need to realize that. And that's my personal opinion. I'm not saying that they have to completely turn into robots and salvage everything about themselves. But at the same time, man, you need to please the larger market of your fan bases. You gotta play that game. I don't feel like that's good business. And we just kind of sit back and accept it as fans, because not everybody's going to games all these spending all that money. But for the fans that do, for season ticket holders, I think it's shitty. And I don't really see how you can argue against that.
Yeah, well, speaking of season ticket holders, like, they pay for those with their jobs, like they pay the paychecks of the players. And we actually have a caller on the line that is going to kind of shift the conversation topic a little bit back towards toxic work environments. Blaine, welcome to your debut appearance on the At Odds podcast.
Hello, fellas. Great to be on.
What's up? Hey, for our Facebook listeners, we got a caller. His name's Blaine. Blaine, what you got for us?
So I used to work at Lowe's. Actually, I'm the one that trained Mike Brown, taught him everything that he knows. How that came about was I was in between basically taking a job at Owens Corning. And I was working part-time at Lowe's just for the discounts to do home improvement stuff around the house and get discounts off of, you know, tools and stuff. Well, there was one day where I was working three departments and we were slammed at the store and somebody needed carpet that we didn't have on the rollers. So if you've ever been to Lowe's, there's rollers on the back where you have to basically take the carpet out, put it on the roller, roll out how many feet they want. So I grabbed somebody from a different department halfway down the store and I get up on the forklift and it's like a 15-foot pole, okay? And you basically put it right straight through and you lift it up and take it out. So I'm back there. It's on the highest point of the stackable shelves. So I pull it out and I ask my spotter, I'll put it in quotation marks too. I ask my spotter, hey, am I good? She's like, yeah, you're good. So I start to back up and I notice that I'm stuck on something. So I didn't see anything that I was stuck on. So I floored it. So what ended up happening was you hear this big pop and basically I look up and then basically about 6 or 7 years worth of standing water for the fire pipes. So in case the hardware store gets on fire, comes down and basically puts the fire out. So that just started pouring right on top of the forklift. So for like 2 to 3 minutes, I'm just sitting in there basically in crap water. And I'm just thinking, what the fuck just happened?
So is this like sewage water?
No, it's just basically they fill up that system. It's like a backup fire system. So when they build that system, they basically flush it with water and it just stays in the pipes.
Yeah.
Until it's used. So yeah, so I'm
let me recap. Yeah. Let me recap for the Facebook guys. I can't hear very well. So the caller Blaine basically fucked up with a forklift and broke the pipes that deal with putting out the fire that are full of water, crash water everywhere and start flooding the store at Lowe's. That's a little brief recap for everybody.
Yeah, about 15 to 20% flooding in the store itself. And then it took about 4 to 5 hours to basically shove all that water into the drains outside. So, and I had to stay soaking wet, take a drug test and do all that kind of stuff. But the worst thing about it was the fire department, when they got there, had no idea how to turn the system off. So I think the damage would have been less severe if the fire department knew how to turn off the backup system.
So how much damage did you cause?
I don't know the exact amount, but I'm going to put $20,000 plus maybe.
Oh, Jesus.
All right.
Because it was in the back, in the back of the cabinet department. Yeah. I don't know the exact. I would have to almost look at my HR file to see how much it was, to be honest with you. But
so, hold on. Do you think you're ever back at Lowe's? Are you a welcome member of Lowe's ever again?
Yeah, I go in there all the time and people are like, do you remember when you did that? Yeah, I do. I'm the person that did it. I rewrote the safety book for Lowe's. I mean, it was bad. and then I get fired after a week off. They give me a week off and then I come in on Saturday, work 4 hours, and then they walk me out the building. So
I was going to ask what the consequences were, and there we are.
To be honest with you, that was the consequences. So, yeah, it was awful.
Sharples, do you have any major work fuck-up stories?
I have a dude. I can't even remember his name anymore. He was a tiny, scrawny little dude. And I wish we had the same amount of people in our Facebook as we had earlier. I cannot believe that I can't remember this dude's name. His name was like Ronnie or something. It was literally something along those lines. It might have even been Ronnie. But this dude used to take like 45 minutes in the bathroom, and he always used to tell people that he had like stomach issues and he had to take a shit all the time. Well, one day they were fucking with him, and they brought in Mike Brown said 45K in damages for you, Blaine, 20K in just stock tape cabinets. Oh man, that's super funny. But anyways, this dude Ronnie Kevin, he would consistently, like chronically, go to the bathroom for 45 minutes at a time. And this is one of my previous jobs, like back in the day. I don't want to say the place, but so anyways, they balled up a bunch of pieces of wet toilet paper and like all this other stuff, and they ended up like sneaking in, peeking over the top to whip it at him, and he was jacking it in the fucking bathroom. He was jacking off in there. So they ended up telling the supervisor
he didn't stop
that he
when they went into the bathroom.
They snuck in there. Like they snuck in there. Okay. Like he had no idea there was anybody in there. And they were, you know, they all had like, it wasn't a bunch of people, it was like two guys, and they had balled up like wet paper towel, and they caught this dude jacking off in there. And I remember them sprinting out of the fucking, damn bathroom laughing their dick off. And I'm like, what's going on? And they told me, and then they went and told our supervisor, like, hey, that Ronnie, quote unquote, Ronnie, got caught jacking it. And that's why he got fired. They ended up firing from like other reasons, saying like he was late for work too many times, and that, you know, he was taking extended breaks and stuff. But really, the straw that broke the camel's back is that he got caught jacking off in the bathroom, and they think that that's probably what he's been doing the whole time. So yeah, and this is like you know, mobile porn. You know, this is like 2007, 2006 ish, something around there. And this dude
was just
going
based off the spank bank upstairs.
I don't know. Yeah, he went with a think tank. He just straight up thought of some things in his head to jack off to. This isn't like today where you can go quickly and, you know, look on your Pornhub on your cell phone. No, this wasn't like that back then. He had a flip phone like everybody else. You know what I mean? Like only the few privileged had the you know, the Voyager or whatever it is to, you know, look up porn. So yeah, that was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. If you saw him, like he came out with the most beet red face, fucking saying that he wasn't jacking off, I was just tucking my dick in. Like he was just laughing his ass off. Like he had no like real rhyme or reason for what he was doing, but he tried to make every excuse he could to say that I was not jacking it. But he was definitely beaten off, and he would go in there daily, multiple times a day. So that shit was pretty funny. Dude, he reminds me of, I don't know if anybody's ever seen the fucking the show Dead Man on Campus. Has anybody ever seen the movie Dead Man on Campus? Dead Man on Campus was a movie with like Zach Morris was in it. And another guy. And oddly enough, who's the tall dude that was in Forgetting Sarah Marshall? He's also was on How I Met
Jason
Your Mother.
Siegel?
Yeah, Jason Siegel is in that movie. A very young Siegel. And he's like a Catholic dude that comes to college, and he has his face. He calls it the Facebook, which is so funny. It was an actual freshman, like, it was a freshman thing where it had all the freshman guys and girls' pictures in this little magazine, and you can look at it. Well, he's like, man, I just been like jacking it to that thing for about 2 weeks. That shit reminded me of Ronnie. Every time I watch that movie, it reminds me of Ronnie, because the dude kind of looked like him in the face, but he's super short and tiny. So he's like a super short and tiny like dude that like would just jack off all the time at work. And like he was always on MySpace talking about how he's like trying to get girls and shit. Like, the guy was in the fucking gutter his entire life. Like, that's all he thought about. So that was one of my funny stories that I experienced from another coworker. I mean, I've done plenty of shit to, like, get fired, like, get hammered the night before and just, like, go into work and literally fall asleep in the bathrooms, like, shit like that. I had this job. It was, like, the best job ever. I worked for this company called Bottomline Inc. Now, Bottomline Inc., let me fix my hair here. Bottomline Inc. is a printing company, and I was a delivery truck driver. And I can't believe I didn't get fired this one fucking day. There's two things that I did. There's a bunch of shit that I did, but there's two things that I did that actually I got caught doing. The owner's dad shows up in a fucking Acura, super foggy out that day, and he parks it right up where I run the ramp that I drive my van up to get it loaded, and I back it up. Nobody ever fucking parks there. So I'm backing up, and I can barely see anything. It's kind of foggy. The mirrors aren't looking good. And I smash into the owner of the company's dad's Acura. And I with a fucking big-ass white van. I had a child molester van that I drove all over the place, up to Ann Arbor, BG, Toledo, Detroit, all over the place to deliver printing supplies and shit. And it was a cool gig. I was really young, still in college and everything. But it was an awesome gig, and I smashed into it. So I thought I was fired right then and there. They didn't fire me. So then I take the same van, like a month later, I go to Wendy's to get some food. Do you know when you like pull around the edge of Wendy's and they have that big ass, like yellow, like cylinder thing that keeps you from like smashing into the side of the door, the building? Do you know what I'm talking about? It's like a little cement pole and they paint it yellow. Well, I come around the corner and I catch it and I dent the entire side of the fucking van and it turns it yellow. So the white van's got a big dent that's like a perfect like half moon shape with a big yellow paint stain on it. I take it back to my boss. I'm like, hey man, I smashed into a Wendy's pole. And dude, they didn't fire me then either. They never fired me. That shit was ridiculous. I'd always come there kind of hungover, driving around, but I had my own cell phone and I didn't have to answer to anybody. So basically what I would do is I would make my delivery super quick in the morning, and then I'd go back to my parents' house, and I'd just go back and I'd sleep for 2 hours. I might wake up and my phone would be ringing and be like, hey man, you coming back? I'm like, yeah, I'm coming back. Traffic. Sorry about that. You know, totally ridiculous. But yeah, man, that's one of the things that I did that I should have been fired for. But I eventually got let go because we lost a huge contract and they had to basically let go of half the staff. So that was pretty fucked up. But yeah, man, I worked with some fucking hood rats at that place. It's in Perrysburg, but like a lot of East Siders and Toledo would come over and work there. And there's this chick, dude, she had to have been 400 pounds and she's always like, didn't have her blood pressure medication because she kept saying she can't afford it. So she'd always be working. She'd always be working, like sweating her ass off, fucking having red welts on herself. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? And she's like, my blood pressure's up. I can't afford these fucking prices. That shit was funny. Oh shit. So yeah, dude, that was some things. Did you ever have anything happen? Tell us some stories that you fucked up with at Domino's.
Yeah. Okay. I'll tell some Domino's. Like, they're not like nearly as like ridiculous as jerking off or driving a forklift into pipes, but they were funny because like I always would try to game the system. So we discovered it happened by accident. Like somebody ordered a pizza and they never picked it up. And, you know, we thought that was bullshit, but I thought it was bullshit. You know, we put all that effort into making the pizza and it's just there. And until it's the end of my shift and the pizza's still there and it's been like on the rack for like an hour. And my manager goes, hey, you can just take that with you. I mean, they never picked it up. And I was just like, are you serious? So I get back to my place and I was living with Andy DeCesar and Kevin Robertson. You remember Kevin Robertson from year behind us in high school? And and this kid from Taiwan named Yao. He's hilarious. And they thought this was the shit. So they thought this was the greatest thing that could have ever possibly happened to me because they're like, you know, we can just order pizza and then not show up and never pick it up. And then you can just take it home for free every. So it got to this point where like an hour or so before my shift ended, some random person would call in and order two extra large, like five topping pizzas. And then they would never pick them up. And then after a half hour that it's been sitting there, that was the rule. So if it sits there for like 45 minutes and then my shift's over and I'm like, hey, can I grab these? And I'm like, yeah, all right. So I would take home like 2 free pizzas every night. And they, it was all of them just completely wasting Domino's resources, ordering pizza they would never plan to pay for.
Dude, for people listening, Brian used to work at Domino's and he would create fucked up pizzas like Oreo pizzas and shit. Brian was like a creator of these kind of pizzas before they started becoming a craze. Right, Brian?
Oh, I didn't make the Oreo. That was my manager. But, I mean, he did make an Oreo
just
pizza.
Credit. We're on our show. Just take credit for this shit. Fuck it.
I'm not going to take credit. I won't lie. It was a guy named Joel.
He
was
amazing. Moral standard. Listen, what kind of cool pizzas did you make? You made a brownie pizza?
Yeah, and it was, and that was a totally illegal too. Like, you know, he basically opened up a thing, Cinestics, and we were selling brownies at the time.
And he took illegal.
The flatbread thin crust pizza and just made icing out of the brown, the fudge sauce, and then put little bits of brownies over the whole thing and then drizzled the Cinestics icing over top of that. And then just put it through, and it was, I'm not joking, that's one of the best things I've ever had in my life. And I've only ever had it one time, and I'll probably never have it again, but it was unbelievable and totally against the rules.
Dude, you got more than that. I know you guys did some stupid stuff. I know.
See, what else? I would always, like, if I was making pizza, I would always like grab like a handful of pepperoni and just shove it in my mouth while I was working. Like,
no, dude, that's not nothing.
Fucking
people do that shit at grocery stores, dude.
I can tell you a funny thing that I don't know if I brought up on the show yet that a dude did recently here in Upper Sandusky. Did I bring up the whole Bridgestone thing? I don't know if I did or not. Okay, this is fucking hilarious then. So this was about 2 or 3 weeks ago. A guy, pulls up, he's a worker at Bridgestone at the factory on a Sunday, and he just pulls up outside one of the factories, like all the doors, the bay doors are closed, and he's in his like 2004 Yukon, and there's some dudes out on a smoke break, and they're like, you know, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm looking for directions. And this is like on the factory property. And they're like, to where? And he's like, I don't know. And then they're like, so what are you looking for? And he goes, I'm trying to find our savior. And then he fucking floors it and drives his Yukon directly through the overhead garage door, just smashes right through it. And then just starts smashing around his Yukon inside the Bridgestone factory. Like, apparently the police report said he made at least 11 collisions inside until his vehicle became disabled. And then
so he just kept ramming it?
Yeah, he just kept ramming his truck into shit until his vehicle stopped working. And then he got out and tried to like get away. Like, by then the police had arrived and they arrested the shit out of him. But guess how much damage he did? He puts up Blaine to shame.
What happened?
$1 million.
I mean, a million?
A million. Granted, this was intentional. But yeah, we have pictures and shit of like what the inside of the Bridgestone factory looked like.
Dude. What do you think of the tattoo? All right, I actually have to talk about this real quick for you fucking Michigan fans. This is for all you Michigan fans. You did not win the national championship in 2013 for basketball. I'm changing the subject real quick here. Okay. I thought of the tattoo on the back of Pitino's back. On the back of his back. But Rick Pitino's back, he has a tattoo from when they won the national championship. Everybody's making fun of him now, saying shit about, like, you know, is that shit going to be, you know, does he have to give up the tattoo too? all this shit. So I got to tell you, a lot of Michigan fans that come up here saying that they deserve to win the national championship and that they should be crowned champions. You lost that game. You shouldn't have beat Florida to begin with. Florida was a better team. You should never beat them. And I think it was a Sweet 16 or Elite. No, it was Elite 8. You should never have beat Florida anyway. But you went to the national championship game and you lost to Louisville. You lost. Just because Louisville got it taken away for some other reasons, some fucking stripper hooker reasons, does not mean you automatically get bumped up to national champion. You lost. And for anybody else that ever has to deal with, like USC having to vacate wins and Notre Dame having to vacate wins, that does not mean you beat them. It never happened. They're just trying to erase them from the history books. But I got to tell you, in my mind, no amount of hookers and strippers is going to steal the national championship from Louisville. Nothing is going to take the Heisman Trophy away from Reggie Bush. All right? He won the goddamn fucking Heisman. Louisville won the national championship in 2013 in basketball. It happened. Nothing can take that away. I think it's fucked up that the NCAA takes these things away from these kids from the past. What they need to do is punish the people that were involved, as in the boosters, the coaches and everything. That's fine. You want to fire Rick Pitino, that's fine. You want to ban him from coming back to the NCAA, that's fine. You want to ban these boosters from ever donating again and being a part of their program, that's fine. But why are you taking rings from kids that had nothing to do with it? And even if they were their kids, they were manipulated. Like, if you're a recruit and you got offered a bunch of bitches, would you do it? Goddamn right. Unless you're going to like BYU and you have some fucking morals. But these kids come from the inner cities, man. And you're sticking them in a situation where they're getting beer and titties in their face. And you expect them to make the right decision when they're 17, you know, 16, 17, 18 years old? Hell no. You know, I'm not for kids never getting, you know, having to take responsibility for things. But in this particular case, on these recruiting trips and all the shit that they've been given and these poor families accepting money, you know what? When you're a poor family and your kid's a superstar basketball player, football player, baseball player, whatever he is, and some booster offers you $25,000, and that could literally wipe out debt for you and make your life better. Dude, like, you're going to take it. You're going to take it. So I don't fault the families. I don't fault the kids. I fault the boosters. I fault the coaches that allow this to happen. They just need to be banned. And like, maybe even criminal action taken against them if that's what they want to do. If they want to ban all this stuff, they want to ban gifts and paying players and all this other stuff, then you can make it like a misdemeanor, so they'll have a criminal record off of it. But only the people, like the kids, don't strip the kids of the national championship. They won that on the field. They won that on the court. They won it on the ball diamond. They deserve to keep their, you know, keep their championship. I like that Ward from Louisville. He said, "You can try and take our championship all you want, but I still got this big ass ring that says otherwise." And I thought that was awesome, because they do. They still got those rings. Fuck them. I don't think that you should strip the titles away from these kids, because at the end of the day, it's still fresh in our minds. We still know. You can't erase it from history books. I know that Louisville won that national championship. I know that USC won all those games. I know that Reggie Bush won that Heisman. So you can't tell me shit. I don't want to hear it. So, you know, what's your take on that, Brian?
I think that they should be paid anyway. I mean, that's why they're going to school for the most part. I mean, they're brought in to play basketball, so they should be paid. They're not being brought in to learn. I mean, a lot of times, especially with those top programs. So they should be paid.
Well, here's my take on this. They're saying that you can't pay players because there's a lot of schools that can't afford to pay them. Fine. What you should be able to do is allow players to make money off of their name, off of their likeness. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, how many Johnny Manziel, Johnny football shirts and t-shirts, and how many Johnny Manziel jerseys and Tim Tebow jerseys, and, you know, any Heisman winner, all those jerseys they ever sold for these guys, Baker Mayfield, all these guys, you know, Texas A&M really got put back on the map. Everybody knows who Texas A&M is, but they got thrusted into the limelight for a couple of years because of Johnny Manziel, right? Dude, Johnny Football, they're making all that money off of him, and he can't make money from his likeness. Same with Reggie Bush. How many Reggie Bush jerseys did they sell? How many tickets did they sell because everybody wanted to watch Reggie Bush tear up, you know, everybody running for over 500 yards against Fresno State? You know, everybody wanted to see that shit. You know, they had a couple Heisman Trophy winners on their team at the same time. You know, and these schools sell these kids jerseys, and they were selling, EA Sports was selling the NCAA games, you know, NCAA football. I played it, you know, and they were putting kids on the cover and not giving them any money. And you have kids that were, you know, making millions of dollars for these universities and not getting a cent from it. That's fucking bullshit. You don't have to pay the kids. You're giving them a scholarship and they're getting a free education. Fine. I don't think you have to pay the players, like cut them an actual check. But if these players are good enough to make you money off the field, then you need to let them make money for that. You need to allow them to sell, you know, get a chunk of those jerseys with their number on it. You know, if you're selling a bunch of two jerseys from Texas A&M, Johnny Manziel should be getting the money for it. Not all of it. Give him a percentage of it, because you're facilitating that. You're facilitating, you know, him too. So I feel like the university should get some money because they're making it possible for him to showcase his talent. But he's the talent, so he should get a percentage of it as well. Kind of like a record deal. You have a record deal. The record company makes it possible, and they fork all this money out for you to tour and shit, but they get a large percentage of the proceeds. But you're the talent, so you get a chunk as well. That's what I think they need to do. All these players need to be able to make money off their own name. They need to be able to sign autographs like Ohio State. Like, I loved it because I fucking hate Ohio State, that they got in trouble for all this tattoo shit. But to ban them from the postseason from it and, you know, take wins away and all this other stuff, not let these kids sign an autograph for a tattoo, like, that's their own business. And they should be able to do that. And the NCAA doesn't want to do it because they want to slave these kids out. You know what I mean? It's just modern day slavery. And, you know, I'm not a big, you know, race card. You know, I'm not a big slavery guy. But in all honesty, white, black, whoever, whatever the athlete's ethnicity are, they are a slave to the NCAA. They perform a free service because not everybody's on a full ride fucking scholarship. They provide a service to the university, and they could even be like indentured servants. You know what I mean? Where they make a little bit of money through the fucking scholarships. But the you know, Johnny Manziel is making $100 million over his entire career, probably, for that university. And because he's still making money for them, they're still selling number two jerseys and shit, you know? So he's making all this money for them. I'm just using him as an example. You know, whatever scholarship they gave him is fucking pales in comparison. It's just fucking slavery. It's bullshit. That's what I think. That's kind of like a rant for my day.
Yeah, that is. That's what good rant. I might edit in some rant music.
Yeah, what do you think about it, though? Do you think these kids need to get paid for their name?
Of course they need to get paid. I mean, that's what they're there for, and they're being exploited ridiculously. I mean, they make so much fucking money during March Madness, during the all college football, and they're just making it off of – they're basically using the whole amateur as an excuse.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's complete bullshit.
Against the rule.
Yeah, man. That's pretty much all I got for you guys today. Brian, you got any gems or anything?
Not really. I mean, I haven't had a chance to. I've been too busy with everything else.
Oh, that's all right, man. No big deal. So
I know that's kind of lame. But I haven't been watching any crazy shows.
Throw a shout out for so we're going to be doing on Belly Up Sports. We're doing a hottest softball team vote. So we're getting all the Power Five softball teams together, and we're going to let everybody vote on who they believe is the hottest team in America. And it's at bellyupsports.com. It's going to start on Monday, and we'll have all the team photos together. You can just click through, and then you can just vote for each team that you think is the hottest softball team in America. It's going to be pretty cool. We're actually going to be doing this stuff for women's basketball as well, and give you guys the opportunity to find the hottest teams in America. And you know, we'll be tweeting all this shit out. We got some of these girls, softball girls on board already with retweeting our stuff. And we're hoping that it grows, you know, grows the Belly Up Sports and everybody has fun with it and gets a chance to check out the hot softball players. Because there are some hot softball players out there, fellas. It's not, you know, it's not all the big chicks. There's a lot of hot chicks, too. So there's that. And once I'll get the basketball, women's basketball together, you know, around the Final Four or around March Madness. So it's going to be funny. It's going to be fun. We'll have a nationwide vote. Hopefully we get a good turnout on that vote. And whoever wins, we're going to present with a nice little certificate. And we're going to send it to the captains of the team. We're just going to have to figure out who they are, if they want to follow us on Twitter so we can get that to them. But yeah, check out bellyupsports.com, at bellyupsports, Twitter, and bellyupsports Facebook, and take a look at everything, man. You know, we got a lot of cool shit to offer. We got blogs. We post a daily content daily, and it's exciting. But that's where the voting's going to be. The voting's going to be done at our website at bellyupsports.com. So, and then you can visit, you know, here at Odds Podcast, Facebook, and we have a Twitter. At Odds Podcast. Mm-hmm. I think we're gonna start tweeting, Brian. And we can start growing us through Twitter. And then you can check us out on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. So that about does it.
All right. So thank you guys for tuning in. Check us out. All the Facebook pages and everything. We should be having our stuff on SoundCloud and YouTube by tomorrow. And the replay of this episode should be available on Blog Talk Radio within about 30 minutes. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. And as long as everything's working, it is back to Mega Man time, motherfuckers.